What's going on, y'all? 7:03 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens with you until 10 on this Football Friday, right? Football Friday on The Fanatic, that is driven by AAA. Wherever the open road takes you, take AAA. We will break down the entire thing here with the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Baltimore Ravens, the fact that the Birds will have fans in the building, and Tyler Zuli at 9:10. He and I will give our weekly picks for the NFL games. Tyler will take out the black book and get the results from last week, get the overall totals, and let us know where we are, and hopefully we help you out, because I think we've been doing pretty good. I don't know about last week. He keeps track of all of that stuff, so we'll get into all that, but we have a lot to talk about with the Birds this evening as we get ready for a big game. Every game for the Birds is big, right? Every single game is big because they are in a situation where they have to win pretty much every one. We know how bad the division is. We understand that. And we know the break that they may have caught with Dak Prescott, unfortunately. You know, I don't root for injury, and especially the way that things were said. I never watched the video because I didn't want to see it as gruesome as everyone was saying it was. I never wanted to say anything about it. I mean, pardon me, watch it, because I just did not want to see that. So with all of that, man, I mean, we're looking at a game here where it's very important for this team to win. Remember earlier in the week when Zach Berman, I believe it was Wednesday, was on with the morning show, Zach Berman said, this weekend, yes, this weekend is important, but the next three games are most important because they are the division games against the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants. The Giants twice in a four-week span, and the Dallas Cowboys after the first game against the New York Giants. So this is a very important game for the Philadelphia Eagles taking on this football team here, the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens, who are now 4-1 behind the Pittsburgh Steelers in their division, only because of the lack of extra game is because of the Tennessee Titan COVID game that shut down that contest between those two teams. So this is a big one for the Birds. And we've been saying must win and must win and must win. For me, again, it's a must win situation. And every time they lose, it puts them in a very, very tough spot. And this one is no different than the one last week for me. For me, if you feel like I'm overreacting, please let us know. You heard what Jamie and I just now during the Draft Line show, where we had a couple of people call in showing their concern about the game, but also showing their belief that this can actually work out in the Eagles' favor, where they do walk away with the win, because maybe Baltimore is actually looking ahead and not paying attention to the Philadelphia Eagles, which I don't think is going to happen, because Jim Harbaugh is a guy that is from Philadelphia, as we know, in terms of having his connection here. And for him to look ahead going against his a guy that he was here on the staff while Doug Peterson was playing, he's not going to look ahead past the Philadelphia Eagles. He's not going to do that. He's trying to win this football game. They beat the Washington football team Cincinnati Bengals last week, 27-3. If they whipped up on them, the Eagles are better than the Bengals, but it's hard to say that with a record that is equal right now with the Bengals. I'm scared of this game. I am. This one scares me. And when I say looking ahead, it's because the Baltimore Ravens have the Pittsburgh Steelers next week at home at 1:00. But I don't think they're going to look ahead. I think they're going to try to pad another win, go to Pittsburgh, go home and play Pittsburgh, and try to take, if Pittsburgh wins this weekend, try to take first place, of course, and make sure that they have first place in the books for them in their division. That's what I see. And that spells trouble for the Birds. Now that we know Lane Johnson is not available, now that we know that Deshaun Jackson is going to be out, Alshon Jeffrey is again out, so he is not going to play. I do not like this game. I don't want to be that guy, but I have to be here on the airwaves with you for 3 hours, and I have to tell you the truth, right? I have to tell you the truth that I do not like this game, okay? I don't like this game, and this one scares me where I'm looking at this one and I'm saying, how do the Birds again win this game? We did this last week because they were playing against a good football team. We did it the week before against the San Francisco 49ers. Even though they walked away with that one, I still have my questions against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And folks, I hate to be that person, but I once again have my questions about the Philadelphia Eagles against the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday. Their defense is very good. Lamar Jackson, albeit a little banged up. This defense last week gave up 38 points to a non-mobile Roethlisberger. And against that non-mobile Roethlisberger, he was able to stand back there and just deliver the ball down the field. Now, Roethlisberger is a better thrower than Lamar Jackson is. But Lamar Jackson has had those games where he's had 3, 4, 5 touchdowns in any given game against the opponent and has basically made sure that they had no opportunity against him. We saw him last year as the MVP. While he has not been that type of player, so far through these 5 games in the NFL this season, he is still a darn good football player. You have to pay very close attention to what he is doing out there in the field, or you are going to get burned. And you're going to get burned badly, and it is going to look very, very ugly for you at the end of the afternoon against this football team. So I have to ask you again, like we do every week, where sometimes we'll change things up, we'll add those things to the topic, to the conversation. But as we sit here at 7:10 on this Friday night, as always, we are the final show before the weekend and plenty of weekend shows to get you ready with all the conversation with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Baltimore Ravens. Folks, how do they get it done? And where are you with your confidence level against the Baltimore Ravens? Because plenty of people that I've heard this week have said, no, this is a trap game for the Ravens because they're going to look ahead to the Pittsburgh Steelers. No, the Birds are going to be at home. The fans are going to be in the building for the first time all season long. That's going to give them an extra boost. You just heard Dom talk about that during the Draft Line show, that they, you know, they are looking at this and saying, hey, the fans are going to be there. How do the fans help support their football team? Tyler is also pointing out accurately that the Ravens have a bye in between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Pittsburgh Steelers game. So they're going to look to go into the bye week looking at this and saying, let's go into the bye week right. Let's go into the bye week right to get ready for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Looking ahead, but not looking ahead, knowing that the bye week is there. So there are a lot of reasons why this one looks badly for me with the Pittsburgh Steelers, with the Baltimore Ravens going to be in town this weekend. There are plenty of reasons. It's going to be good weather, so there are no issues for either kicker. If we had to go advantage on each side of the football, as much as you may like Jake Elliott, Justin Tucker is the best kicker in the NFL, hands down, for me. Tyler whispers, mouths to me, the best ever, because that dude is that good. When he gets that real contract, that real NFL contract, you're like, oh, yeah, he's worth every penny of that one right there. That's Justin Tucker. It's no big deal. Justin Tucker is the first pick in fantasy, and some people take him rather early because you know he's a guarantee every single time he lines up for a field goal and certainly for those extra points as well. The Birds are playing better offensively. Their number of points has increased each week, getting ready for week number 6 here against these Baltimore Ravens. And while that number has increased, things have looked better, but I still have my concerns about Zach Ertz. Where is he? Why is he not any better? Can Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz connect in this game to finally get their rhythm going together to, you know, start to pile up these wins for the Birds, start to pile up these receptions, and Zach Ertz's confidence comes back, and he is the normal Zach Ertz that we all know and have admired over the last couple of years. Travis Fulgham, well, Travis, yes, Joe Hayden, you got him a couple of times last week. He got you a few times. Now you're going to face another very good corner. Well, I suspect Marcus Peters is going to take that challenge of shutting down this who? What? That guy's not putting up 10 on me. Not putting 10 catches up on me for 152 in the score. That's going to be trouble. That's going to be a problem. And where else is it going to come from? If the running game is going to be a key factor for everyone in how to win this football game, Eagle fans, we thought that that was going to be the same thing last weekend against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And while Miles Sanders was able to bust off that one for 74 yards, he was 10 for 6 yards thereafter, and Doug Peterson went away. And there was no one else to pick up the slack. Boston Scott did not. Corey Clement did not. And we know what the result was last week, where the Philadelphia Eagles had 12 carries between their running backs, one for Boston Scott for 3 yards. So that's 12 for 83 yards on the ground. And Carson Wentz threw the ball 35 times for his 258 yards, five sacks, two touchdowns, two interceptions in the loss last week to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I have my questions. I do. I hate to be that person. I know, guys, I'm being that person right now once again. But when I say that I just don't like this team, it's not that I don't like the team overall. It's I don't like the team and their chances as we move forward here, getting ready for the season. Each week, we're going to talk about Howie Roseman somehow. We're going to speak about Doug Peterson some way. The same for Carson Wentz, Jim Schwartz as well. Until they string along a consecutive run here of wins, we're going to have these types of talks. Because the schedule, after the next 3 games against New York, Dallas and New York, and having that bye week in between the Dallas and New York game on the back end, we're looking at Cleveland, New Orleans, Green Bay, Seattle, Dallas again, in no particular order. That's a tough schedule. So when I said after week number 2 or 3 that this team has the look of a 6-10 team, they have one win right now. They're either going to need 6 or 7 wins to win the division. And by the way, if you've been listening all week, I've been saying to you, with the unfortunate injury to Dak Prescott, it's a shame. It's very tough to see something like that happen to anybody, regardless of the division, regardless of sports hate that you have for a particular team. Andy Dalton can play football. He has weapons. The question, of course, for them, can the defense hold up? They may not. But the offense can put up some points again on that field, and I think Andy Dalton is still going to be able to do so. So as we sit here on this football Friday night, talking about the Birds, getting ready for the Baltimore Ravens coming in town here this weekend at the Link with fans in the building. The numbers, 610-632-0975. Where are you? Where are you in terms of your confidence and the Birds winning this game? Where are you if the Birds are going to lose this game? Let us know how they will win. As you always know, we do this. Please show your work. Let us know how they win, and we'll break it all down together until 10 o'clock. 610-632-0975. Let us know your thoughts about this game against the Baltimore Ravens. Another tough one for me, folks. I'm sorry. I think most people know I'm more positive than this. These are just difficult to look at and lean the Eagles' way. I don't want to be that guy where we're simply being, you know, homers here. I'm trying to look at things logically and be fair to the Birds as well. And right now, I just do not see a pathway where they beat the Baltimore Ravens. Can they slow the game down with the time of possession by running the football like we want them to? Possibly. Possibly. But they have to commit to it in order to do that, to get those big runs off, to bust those things open, to, you know, eat it up chunk by chunk by chunk, 3, 5, 7. The next thing you know, there's a 17-yarder, a 43-yarder, a 74-yarder, or when these things start to happen with the 3, 5, 7, 19, 25, 47, now that play action is in play. The middle of the field starts to work for Zach Ertz because they have to play up inside the box. Down the field, this might be one of those games where Carson Wentz and John Hightower have yet to really be able to hit downfield. Travis Fulgham is going to get a lot of attention from the Baltimore Ravens secondary, specifically Marcus Peters. Can John Hightower win one of these? And can the ball placement be perfect for him to catch the football? Can he lay out for one and receive that one, pull it in for a 43-yard gain and a confidence booster for the offense, not only for the quarterback, but also for that young receiver and the belief that, hey, I can do this. Remember that fourth down catch against San Francisco that I caught? Right? I caught that ball. Remember last week when I did have 3 yards on my DB and Carson just missed it a little bit? Maybe I could have laid out a little bit more to get that football, help my quarterback out. But I just grabbed this 43-yarder. We're inside the red zone. We're about to punch this thing in. Now he feels better about himself against Marlon Humphrey the rest of the evening, afternoon. I do have my concerns about the offensive line, no Lane Johnson. They continue to have to shuffle things up on that offensive line. We give all the credit in the world to Jeff Salton for having Jordan Mailata and Jack Driscoll, ready to go on the other side of the line of scrimmage. But then that might mean something when it comes to the right guard. Same thing for the left guard, even though Kelsey has been there, and the same can be said for Jordan Mailata on the outside. The chemistry overall starts to just keep getting pulled at because there's no consistency along the offensive line. So you tip your cap to these younger players that are stepping in there and holding their own and doing their job. They haven't been perfect. They can't be perfect. We're not expecting them to be perfect. We're asking them to hold up and do their part. And they are certainly doing their part. But are they going to be able to open up these holes for Miles Sanders? Right? Things like that. Are they going to be able to hold up against this another 3-4 defense that might do something a little differently to hurt you on that football field on Sunday? So I ask you, how do they do it? How do they get the win? Where are you? Can they pull this one off and pick up their second win of the season? Of this 3-game stretch, San Francisco, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, we said they had to win one, hopefully at least two, but they got the San Francisco one. They had a chance last weekend. This is that last one, folks. Can they pull this one off, get the win at home in front of you fans on a very nice Sunday afternoon, 66 degrees, it looks like right now as we sit here at 7:21 on this football Friday night. Can the Birds do it? Can they do it? Matt Pryor is now on the virus list, so he is out. So again, this is a situation where the offensive line is being tweaked. Once again, Jamon Brown is going to be the starter for you on Sunday, according to Doug Peterson, today. 610-632-0975. On the other side, we'll take your phone calls. Again, 610-632-0975. We'll get into the Birds' injuries once again. 9:10, we'll have our NFL picks for the week. We'll have our NFL picks segment. And we'll get into, because we did not talk about it last night, Dave Yeager, now an assistant, the lead assistant on Doc Rivers' staff. I love it. You know, I wanted him as the head coach. It's a beautiful thing when you're able to have Doc Rivers and Dave Yeager on the same staff for your team in Philadelphia already. This is one of the best, if not the best, coaching staffs the Philadelphia 76ers have had under Brett Brown in this town during his 7-year tenure. I've liked people on the staff, but right there when you're talking about a 1-2 of Rivers, Yeager, that's really good. And we'll also let you know about the changes that were made in the front office. You've all been waiting for it, and they have now started to happen. 610-632-0975. We're running with you until 10. Football Friday. Birds hosting the Ravens this weekend at home. Can they win this game? And how do they do it? Devon Givens with you until 10 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
The Fanatic on this Football Friday. Devon Givens with you, 610-632-0975. And, you know, college football is in play, too. We got to get the Nick Saban. Well, Tyler's already put it out there. Nick Saban has tested negative an hour ago, so... Quickly, Tyler, what does that mean? Does that mean he's going to be on the sideline?
That does not mean he's going to be on the sideline just yet. So he has to test negative three separate times, each test 24 hours apart. I don't think that, well, not that I don't think. Yeah. I know that right. There is not enough time unless he finds some kind of wormhole in the space-time continuum.
He is Nick Saban. 610-632-0975. All right. You know what it is, Football Friday, show your work. What's going on with the Birds this weekend against the Baltimore Ravens? Show your work on how they get it done. Or maybe you're not there. You just don't feel good today. You might feel differently on Sunday at 9 a.m. when I start things up at Parks Casino, or when we have the pregame show with Brian Westbrook and Derek Gunn starting at 10 a.m. from Parks and Ben Salem. Maybe you feel a little differently then, but right now at 7:32 on this Football Friday, how do you feel? 610-632-0975. All right, let's do it. Let's get things started in North Philly with Michael here on The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, Devon?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm sorry. I definitely wanted to talk Sixers, but
we can get there, no doubt.
Okay. As far as the Eagles, I'm going to stay faithful. You know, I don't want to put doubt into anyone's minds. You know, I think we got a good chance. You know what I mean? I just think we need to rally together and stay faithful. That's all, you know? That's about it on the Eagles.
Well, you know what? You try to stay faithful, but you too, Mike, you look at it logically and you say it's a 1-3-1 team. You're coming in back home. The fans are going to be in the building. It's a nice day. But the downer to that is you have this 4-1 club that – is going to have a bye week next week, and they probably want to come in here and thump you and make another statement like they did against the the Cincinnati Bengals last week. And while you are better than the Cincinnati Bengals, you think you have the same record. So it's just one of those things for me, man, where I try to look at it positively. I always have that mindset, but I just don't see it. They've been playing better, but I just don't see it happening this weekend.
Facts. That's
fine. All right. That's just how I feel. I feel. What you got on the Sixers?
All right. Now I'm talking. Okay. Listen. This Dave Yeager pickup, tremendous.
You know, that was my guy.
And I'm going to say critical pickup. Now, the reason why I say critical is because this now entering season that we're about to approach, some players are going to be playing now that haven't played last season. Kevin Durant, okay? Kevin Durant is an offensive threat. Dave Yeager is a defensive-minded coach, as well as an offensive coach, X and O coach. I'm amazed by this pickup, okay? Like I said, there will be more players that will be playing this year that haven't played last year. I also want to say something to you about a trade that I'm exploring, okay? I heard it yesterday on J. Will, Keyshawn, and Zubin. All right, now, Jason Williams was exploring the trade about saying if Embiid gets traded to Golden State. Now, I'm not too mad about that, okay? And he was talking about us getting Andrew Wiggins. Okay, I'm not too happy about Andrew Wiggins. But if we can get Draymond Green with Andrew Wiggins, I'll take that all day. Because if we get Draymond Green, okay, we're now replacing what we lost in Jimmy Butler, okay, as far as dog mentality. He's not going to let go of Ben Simmons. If Ben Simmons is not going to shoot, now you sit on the sidelines. Doc Rivers is going to cuss you out and saying shoot. Now you go on the floor. Draymond Green is going to say shoot. Okay, he's not going to leave your face. All right, now I love that pickup. As far as Andrew Wiggins, he still is athletic. Yes, he's a B-minus player at best. But I think he'll feed off of the energy that we'll be producing. Okay, I love that. If they do want to do that, I'm not mad about that. But if we keep him be, okay, the more the merrier.
This is where we disagree. Because, well, when Jay Williams put this out on Twitter, actually, Mike, the other day, he put this out on Twitter and he was saying Andrew Wiggins and, you know, possibly that number two overall pick, Joel Embiid, goes out there. And right. It will work out, of course, with Joel Embiid playing with all those shooters. That would be tremendous for him.
Right.
I just don't see. I think the 76ers, Mike, want to see Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons with the new coach. And that, of course, now is Doc Rivers. So
right.
That's why I don't see anything like that happening right now.
Right.
Yep. Because I think they want to make sure that they give him every opportunity with the new coach to explore what things that haven't been really tapped into with the last regime. Not that they didn't try, just that they didn't get it all the way out of him.
Facts.
So that's where I'm going with them. Now, some other trades I would really kind of look at, maybe Horford and Richardson as possible moving on. The only problem is, Mike, we just don't know what's going on with the NBA, with the salary cap, no fans, and how people might be afraid to spend certain amount of money with different things. With these players, that's the only thing. I mean, I don't even know how much free agents are going to pull in when it's their time in, I believe it's November 18th is the free agent period now. I don't even know, man.
Right. No, I definitely understand what you're saying. I just got such high hopes for the Sixers, and I think the moves that they're making, you know, I really think of it as a win-now mentality even more than ever, because just the moves are showing off. You know, like I said, Doc Rivers, you know, I think that was an amazing pickup, as well as Dave Joerger. And I said, I'm agreeing with you. If they do keep Embiid, I'm not mad about that pickup, because the gameplay with now just the new game plan that he's going to implement, you know, I think it's going to be better. So,
all right, Mike, listen, great stuff, man. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll definitely chat down the line. 610-632-0975. Yeah, well, I'll get into a little more Dave Joerger as we go. Pat Egan was kind enough to let me know earlier today that while I didn't hear this portion of the morning show, they were talking about it, and he mentioned during, you know, his segment at 8:30 that the Dave Joerger thing was my choice for the head coaching position when this whole thing got started. And that was before Doc Rivers, so before that happened, logically, when things change, I'm saying Doc Rivers is the best available. Go do it. So you go do it. And they did it. And now they have Joerger on their staff as the assistant. And I love it. I really do love this move. I do. Defensive minded. Tyler was saying earlier to me when we were preparing for the show earlier in the day, he texted me and he said, Defensive Player of the Year, Ben Simmons? Well, here's the problem, Tyler. You left out Defensive Player of the Year, Joel Embiid, too. They both talked about the aspirations of being able to collect that award at the end of the campaign. So with Dave Joerger coming in, yeah, I believe he had Mark Gasol when he won the Defensive Player of the Year award for the Grizzlies. I want to say it was him. Tony Allen was on multiple all-defensive teams while Dave Joerger was the head coach. Now, while he's the head coach, those dudes had to go out there and do it. And many people, Kobe Bryant included, the late, great Kobe Bryant included, said Tony Allen was the one when it came to defense. So Dave Joerger is going to help this defense. And you have two all defensive level talents on this team. And if Josh Richardson is here, he's no slouch defensively either. And oh, what does that mean for sophomore Matisse Thybulle in his growth? 610-632-0975. And that will even bring into the conversation, which we will get into, the Al Horford portion of the thing, because he did have, not only did he have Marc Gasol that we mentioned, he also had Zach Randolph right next to him, and they were winning a lot of games. A lot of games. It was Lionel Hollins' team, but they kept winning. Let's go to Mike and Creekside next on the Fanatic. Mike.
Just one quick thing on the basketball. I hope they retire the process. I do not want to hear that in this coming up basketball. They ain't say new day, anything else, but no, the process does not continue.
Well,
the process is dead.
Well, Joel Embiid has, I think he has patented that term, the franchise, the process. So you'll still hear it maybe from him. and the people who were a part of that rebuild, the people who loved it. But as far as this new regime with this front office as well, the coaching regime in this front office, I don't think they'll mention it.
Okay. Now, the game Sunday kind of scares me because of Doug. I get the feeling, knowing Doug and the way they've tried to pull in Jalen Hurts, that Doug might panic and see the quarterback from Baltimore, the way he's doing things.
Lamar Jackson,
and he might want to put in and see what his situation Lamar Jackson would do against. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that would be foolish.
I know it, but I do not trust Doug Peterson. Now, the other one, if I think the linebacker's name is Singleton, the guy from the Eagles,
Alex Singleton, yes.
Yes. I would like to see him and Bradley be the starting linebackers. But if they're dumb enough and want to stick Gary back in there, he needs to be down there and just used as a spy. He should have nothing to do except keep his eyeballs on
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson. Okay. And just keep him, you know. So, those are the two things right there. I'm afraid of Doug Peterson panicking, and I'm afraid of sports not playing his better, younger quarterbacks with more speed. But if he does have to play him as a spy.
I disagree on the spy thing, because if you put so much attention to Lamar Jackson, number one, I don't think even in a one-on-one situation, if you get out in the open field, that he's going to be able to tackle him, because he's so elusive and he's so quick. He can get to that edge very quickly and turn up that speed, and Nate Gary's, you know, in the dust at that point. Secondly, if you do that, Mark Andrews as a tight end is very good in the middle of that field, and he could burn you. He could burn you in that situation. So I would be careful with trying to spy with that. And then again, here's the other thing too, Mike. Jim Schwartz is too proud. He is not going to spy when it comes to them going out there, because if you get that going with Mark Andrews, now all of a sudden you have Marquise Brown and Willie Snead and Devin Duvernay, if he gets in there as well, with all of that speed and that possession that they have, that they're going to hurt you. And you know, he'll hit those little short things on the move, and you spy him, and now that middle of the field is open and they can't tackle. That spells trouble for me.
Well, I have no faith in Nick Gary. I watched the rerun.
I know.
and because I did nothing but concentrate on keeping up with him, because I didn't usually just watch the whole thing develop on television. Mm-hmm. But I kept my eyes as much on every play as possibly watching television.
Yes.
And this guy did nothing. He was never a lead tackler. He was. And it looked like there was one play, he sat down there, the defensive back was coming over to tackle the receiver, and looked like he slowed up until the defensive back hit him, and then all of a sudden he just fell on top.
He has not been good, Mike. He's awful.
I know the old saying goes, I'm 72 years old, but I still think I can play better, put a better effort forward than him.
Yes, he has not been very good. Mike, you are very correct on that one, man. Thanks so much for the call. 610-632-0975. Right now, in terms of yards giving up a game, the Baltimore Ravens rank sixth in yards per game given up at 335 total. In the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles currently, they give up 355 per game as a team defense. Passing yards, the Baltimore Ravens right now, they rank in the, they're right there with the Birds at 243, the Birds 241. Rushing yards on the ground, Jamie and I talked about this a little bit during the Draft Line show in regards to Miles Sanders. They only give up 92 yards rushing on the ground. The Philadelphia Eagles, on the other hand, give up 114. We've seen where certain teams, the Rams, they took advantage of the Birds in the running game. So this is an interesting game. As far as points go, they are number one in the NFL defensively in points allowed. They give up 15.2 points per game. Their defense. Where do the Philadelphia Eagles rank? All the way down in the 20s at 29 points per game. It's a big discrepancy right there. Now the Birds are at home. The Philadelphia Eagles are at home. They're hosting this Baltimore Ravens team. They have a bye. Could the bye work in the Eagles' favor where the Ravens are looking ahead past the Philadelphia Eagles and getting ready for that bye? Could they? Sure. Sure. But I don't see it. I don't see it. They are number one in points allowed in the defense in the NFL. Points allowed defensively in the entire National Football League. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 on this Football Friday. Right here, 610-632-0975.
I mean, you talk about the discrepancies between the two teams. It's significant and it's evident in many, many categories. You know, you talked about earlier in the show that you were trying to keep it honest and keep it real and say that you were scared of this game. Scared's probably a good word to use. It's not that you're not looking at this game and going, yeah, I can see the Eagles losing. You're not looking at this game and saying, okay, I can see how the Eagles would win this game. A lot of people, yourself included, myself included, are looking at this game and thinking about it like the 2018 New Orleans Saints game, where the Eagles went into that game and we all went, nope.
You talking about the route?
And we didn't think it was going to be that bad, 40, right? It was a 41-point loss.
It was
48-7, and we didn't think it was going to be that bad. But we all looked at it and we went, this is a matchup nightmare. Something's going to happen here. And you know, we all expected 17, 20. We didn't expect 41.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel kind of similar to that game as I do heading into this weekend. I didn't feel that way last week against Pittsburgh. I thought they'd lose. I didn't think it would be like this, though.
Well, yeah, this one... I don't know if it will be like that. I think they will show out much better at home. I actually think it's going to be a closer one where we were talking about the 9.5, where it's jumped from 7.5 to 9.5 at home as a 9.5-point dog. I go where that's in Philadelphia Eagles line. Now, I did the same thing with the Pittsburgh line last week where that got a little tricky with the 7 that it was. And then they ultimately lost by, what did they lose by, 9 points last week? I think it'll be a closer game. I do. I think they will be around them the entire game where they're not passing all the time to pick up yards, to pick up those, not pick up the yards, but try to get those scores and the yards start to accumulate. No, I actually think that they will be there. I really do.
Well, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm comparing that game at the beginning of the game, right? Pre-game. I'm not talking about how it ended. I don't expect the Eagles to lose by 41 this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But I have it as a 16-point game. And I don't expect it to feel as close as 16 points. It might be one of those games where the Eagles score a late touchdown to make it.
You said 16 points?
Yes.
Like last week you had a 27-17, I believe.
Correct.
Pittsburgh. So you were pretty right. It was 10, but it wound up being 9. This one you already have your prediction? You're putting it out there?
Yeah, I mean, I can give it to you now.
Go ahead.
I have it at 33-17.
Sheesh.
That's way apart. There's nothing. Offensively, I think that they should be able to score, you know, a couple of touchdowns, meaning the Eagles, because I think that Carson Wentz has been much improved over the last 2 weeks compared to the first three.
Certainly has.
But when I say 33, I feel like that's almost erring on the side of caution. To say that maybe the Eagles' run defense is stout again like it's been for most of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I look at 33 and I say, it could be more. I'm just picking 33 strictly because of the fact that I think the Eagles, outside of last week when they did give up, you know, 11 of 15 on third down or whatever it was, have done a decent job of stopping the run and forcing teams to pass. If you can make this, you know, a field goal game for Justin Tucker, then you're in good shape. I think he's going to get 3 or 4. That's why I have 33.
Mm-hmm.
still a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot. It's definitely a lot, but that's how good this football team is. And then again, there are those questions with the Philadelphia Eagles. So show your work, folks. How does this get done? Where are you? Do you feel good about this game? I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything. I don't like this one. 610-632-0975. Again, 610-632-0975. We'll get into a little bit more of the Dave Yeager stuff, even though it is a Football Friday, just because I missed on it last night. Well, we'll talk a little more about that, but also continue with the phone calls, and we will get to you on the other side as well. 610-632-0975. Tyler will give also the Twitter poll and see where folks are right now on this Football Friday because, hey, you know, let's see what the poll actually says. Let's see what the poll actually says because I'm very curious. Once again, there have been a lot of people who feel good about this game. Really, there have been a lot of people who feel good about this game in regards to the Philadelphia Eagles winning. I am not one of them. Is this an any given Sunday situation? Absolutely. Any given Sunday, anything can happen. Anything could happen. The Birds can be the one on the opposite end of what Tyler's saying. And we're looking at a 33-17 victory for the Philadelphia Eagles, smacking the Baltimore Ravens and having us all feel good getting ready for next week against the New York Giants. All of us. Not to mention three consecutive games at home. Three of them. Starting with the Baltimore Ravens tomorrow. So, if that's where you are, where you feel good, hey, let us know. 610-632-0975. We're going until 10, and we will get into the Dave Yeager stuff as well and some of the changes in the front office that have happened today, has happened today, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Eight o'clock. 97.5 The Fanatic on this Friday night. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you. 910. Tyler Zuli and I will give our picks, our weekly picks for the week to see what we do. I don't know what we did last weekend. Connor Thomas was also in the mix filling in for Tyler. We had the weekend off. And curious to see where we are. I'm curious to see. I don't want to hear anything. Go ahead.
I'll just say it's close.
All right.
Very close.
Okay. Well, forget about it. We'll wait till 9:10 because I do have questions. But 610-632-0975. And I want to get into Zach Ertz as well because what gives? You heard Barrett Brooks with us last night. He said, on that interception that we've all been critical of Zach Ertz getting bumped off that route, he also said that that ball was going to Miles Sanders, correct? That's what he said, right, Ty? The ball was supposed to, or at least that was supposed to be in the Miles Sanders play. Zach Ertz was in the target. He got bumped off, and the interception happened. And we were all looking at Zach Ertz like, what, dude, what's going on? And here he is. You know what I'm saying? Here he is. In this spot where every week we think it's going to be the Zach Ertz week where he bounces back and then he doesn't bounce back. If we look at Zach Ertz's numbers, right? If we look at Zach Ertz's numbers right now for the Philadelphia Eagles through five games, we're getting ready for week number six here this weekend against the Baltimore Ravens. The leading receiver in yards so far, it's Travis Fulgham with 209. And he had buck 52 last week, 10 receptions. So he was killing it last week. Receiving right now, Travis Fulgham's played two games. Greg Ward is the second leading receiver with 172. Zach Ertz is 145. Dallas Goedert is fourth behind Zach Ertz with two less games played at 138, where Zach Ertz has 145. Okay? 145. So what gives? 35 targets with only 20 receptions.
Well, and you hear him say earlier in the week, you know, he was asked about his stats. He said, I don't really care about my stats being down. I care about us not winning games.
Well, his stats go hand in hand
exactly.
with the team winning. Okay, you don't have to worry about it individually, but you are one of the best weapons on the offensive side of the football, if not the best. You need to get the ball. It's not coming to him. It's him, but it's also the quarterback as well. So we'll talk about Zach Ertz after Tyler gives us the poll right here on 97.5 Twitter account.
Yes, sir. Twitter poll tonight is, how does the Eagles-Ravens game end this weekend? Your options are the Ravens win somewhere between 1 and 10 points, the Eagles win somewhere between 1 and 10 points, the Ravens win by 10+, or the Eagles win by 10+. Just under 600 votes so far. You've got about an hour and 40 minutes or so left to vote on this thing. 53% of the people say that the Ravens win by 10 or more. Double-digit win for the Ravens. 20% say the Eagles win by 1 to 10. 19% say the Ravens win by 1 to 10. Just 8% say the Eagles win by double digits.
Okay. Where's yours?
I'm at 16.
And you're at 16.
So I'm in that 53%.
Wow. 53%. Okay. 610-632-0975. Rasheen had to hang up. We talked to Sheen last night. He actually feels good about the birds. And, you know, if Sheen is able to call back before we get out of here tonight, I would like to hear how he feels the day later in regards to this game. Let's go to Mark in Philly, then we'll get to Zach Ertz in a little bit. What's up, Mark?
Yep, I'm here.
What's up, man? How you doing?
How you doing, man, Devon? I'm a first-time caller. Just wanted to tell you that I think we're going to win this Sunday.
Okay, yeah. All right, you know how we do, Mark. Show your work.
All right, so we played a number one defense and put up, what, 29 points?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, 15 points average from the Baltimore, that's going to be a scary game. And, like, I respect them. They got to contain Lamar, but it's going to come down to our defense, honestly.
Well, it definitely does, man. That's what it's going to be all about all season long. It's really the defense first, probably Carson Wentz second. They'll flop every now and then, but those are the two reasons why we look at it, Mark, together collectively, and how the keys are to winning the game. So you're right. Their defense has to hold up, and the offense has been able to put up the points that you're talking about, getting better each week, putting up 29 last week on Pittsburgh, the number one defense. Right now they're giving up, because they gave up 29, 21.8. But here in this particular game now, Baltimore 15.2 that they give up. The birds are at home. So I can see where you feel comfortable about that.
And we get the fans back.
Yes. That's an important thing.
I mean, it's only 5,000, but 5,000 of them it gives them more than what we had before. We're at least going to be held accountable. I just wanted to say that. Go Birds. I think we got this, baby.
Well, real quick, let me ask you this. Who would you say, if they're going to win, is going to be the key player of the game?
Zach Ertz got to step up.
Ooh. Okay. You got it, Mark. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Right on cue. Zach Ertz has to step up, Mark says. Man.
It's not wrong.
I didn't get his prediction. That's my bad. Each week we get the predictions from the callers, and I did not get his prediction. But he said they'll win.
Sounds like an Eagles win.
Said they'll win. 610-632-0975. Ben in Norristown checking in. What's up, Ben?
Hey, what's going on, Devon? How you feeling, bro?
You know what, Ben? I feel good, but as far as the game goes, I'm not there.
Listen, I'll get on that about you on Sunday morning when I see you at the job.
All right.
But anyway, I feel so good about this game. I can't tell you why I got this feeling. I even got a feeling J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is going to do something this game. I feel like that catch gave him some type of phantom confidence that he's better than what he is. And I even put money on him, went plus 1,700 to score a touchdown. Anytime touchdown score.
Plus 1,700. Ooh. That's probably every week, though.
It's all right, but I feel like he got his confidence up. He made that great catch, even though he did all the dumb stuff and didn't have his eye on the clock or time management,
yeah,
all that.
He was celebrating.
But he made the catch. And that's big for somebody that ain't did nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, it is, but...
I really think it's going to be a 30-27 Eagles type of win.
High scoring, and you come out on top.
Yeah, that's what I feel.
All right, I'll put you down, Ben, 30-27. And so who is the key here to their victory?
Oh, Miles Sanders. I think he's going to be key, but not key in the running. He's going to be key in the pass game.
Against those linebackers?
Yeah. Tell me.
They can't keep up with them.
They're going to be doubling Fulgham. They're going to have eyes on Ertz because he's having a bad year, but everybody expects Ertz to be Ertz at some point.
Yes.
You can't not game plan for him. Mm-hmm. And Miles Sanders is going to scat right out the bat. A couple seam routes right up the middle. Bang. He's going to be open a few times. A couple wheel routes. I'm telling you.
Okay. Listen. I hope you are right. It's not that I don't want them to be right. I just haven't seen it, so I hope you're right.
All right, brother.
All right, I'll see you on Sunday, and you have to let me know where I'm wrong. That's all to it. All right, man. You got it, Ben. Right, thanks, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. All right, so Mark says that Zach Ertz is the key to the game. Before we get back to the call, 610-632-0975. The key for Mark, and Ben said Miles Sanders, but Mark takes us right back to where we need to be. Zach Ertz. What's up with him? We all have our theories that the contract thing is playing into it. With that contract thing seeping into his head, he's already that emotional type. And when I say this, of course, I'm not saying that he's soft. It's just that he's that emotional guy where he allows that stuff to affect him, where it may not be the case for others. They'll go out there and prove it. You know what? You're not going to pay me? All right, I'm going to go do this. And while he says he's not worried about his stats, once again, as Tyler and I just said a few minutes ago, are directly impacted by the result of the game for the Eagles every time they step out there on the field. Because he has been that good for the Philadelphia Eagles. He has been that good. Okay? So in order for them to win, they need him to be better. You need he and Carson Wentz to get back on the same page. You cannot tell me that over the last 5 years that they have been together, that they have suddenly lost their way together. You cannot tell me that.
I think you can, actually.
I disagree. Please share.
So I think the reason you can say that, it's a combination of everything. I really don't believe that there is just one thing that is weighing Zach Ertz down. It's not just the contract situation. It's not just Carson being poor in the first couple of games. It's not just Doug Peterson not calling a great game plan. It's not just the fact that Zach Ertz is looking over his shoulder at probably every chance that he gets it. When is Dallas coming back? When is Dallas going to, you know, get more reps? When is all of this, you know, going to start to accrue? And on top of that, let's not forget, this is a man that played with, what was it, a lacerated kidney?
Lacerated kidney. That's why I said I'm never going to call him soft.
No.
Because of what he did there. I'm talking about knowing the type of emotional person he is, that it's now going the other way, where the emotions would take people, players we've seen, contract disputes, the opposite side, where the production goes up, or if not stays where it is, it just goes up to prove a point.
So, and what I'm trying to get at is all of those things work in tandem together to say that Ertz and Wentz are not on the same page. It's not, I don't think it's one particular thing. It's not like they're not buddies anymore. I still would assume that they are extremely close. They've made it sound that way, at least in public. It's a combination of Wentz struggling early, Ertz probably not running his hardest on that specific route, getting rubbed off the route pretty easily, I think. Mm-hmm. It's probably a little bit of the contract situation. It's probably a little bit of, you know, again, thinking about Dallas Goedert. It's a lot of things put together that make just a perfect storm of a bad connection.
Well, he needs to get it back on track. They need to get back on track together. We're speaking about just two seasons ago in 2018 after the Super Bowl, where he broke the team's record with 116 receptions on 156 targets. He had 8 touchdowns, 1,163 yards. This is not Zach Ertz. I know he may have lost a step. This is not Zach Ertz. I know that he has never been a yards after the catch person. This is not Zach Ertz. And if it is the contract, that's a shame. That's a shame that he would allow this to impact what happens on the football field because he is so... I've never been in that situation. I don't know. So, yes, I am speaking from a place of unknown for me. I don't know. Don't know. I have no idea. But what I will say, is my question now in terms of the game overall, we've already been asking, how do they do it? How do they get it done? Do you feel confident? Is this the week that they, you know, beat another good football team where we thought San Francisco was the case and everybody's counting out the Philadelphia Eagles? Is this the game that Zach Ertz shows us Zach Ertz once again? Is it? They've won these. They've played the good football that they've played already without him being productive. Now, we can't be disrespectful and say he's not productive because they are paying attention to him. They are shading their defense to him because he's the number one option. So definitely, you know, being paid attention to. He's still Zach Ertz, where, as Tyler just pointed out, the game plan is to stop Zach Ertz. They have been doing it, and it seems like he has been helping them. So, can we count on Zach Ertz to bounce back against the Pittsburgh Steelers team, or is this not the week? Do we have to wait till they play the Giants or the Cowboys or the Giants again? Is this the game we expect Zach Ertz to bounce back and we see a Zach Ertz game? 610-632-0975. Because I don't know, but I would hope so. He is too good. He is too good, we think, to not, right? To not be Zach Ertz out there on the football field. There's no Dallas Goedert, no DeSean Jackson, no Alshon Jeffrey, no J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, even when he's out there. Greg Ward, yes, he'll get about 5 to 7 catches a game, but they're only for 8, 9 yards, pop, 7 yards. He catches the football every time. He'll get a touchdown from time to time as well. Zach Ertz is the one who has to really come back to where he was. Now, I'm not talking about the 116. I mean, whatever the number I just said. Yeah, 116 receptions. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about 5 for 60-something, 6 for 70-something, 7 for 8-something, 2 touchdowns, right? When we saw him score that first score against Washington in week number 1, like, okay, contract's not bothering him. He just wanted to express his feelings. Guess what? He expressed his feelings, and he hasn't done anything since. Has Carson Wentz missed him? Yes. But he is also part of this. He is also on this one as well. This is on him too. This is on him too. He has to be better. Has to be better. Can Zach Ertz be Zach Ertz this weekend? Or, as Tyler just said, is it? Or is this just Zach Ertz and we have to get used to it and we're going to be talking about trading him in 2 weeks because the trade deadline is upcoming? 610-632-0975. Devon Gibbons with you until 10 o'clock on this Football Friday. Tyler Zuli is here as well. We will give you our weekly picks at 9:10. We also have some Keyshawn Johnson audio from earlier today where we'll give you on the other side. It's interesting. Interesting thing that he says about the birds on their new show that they have during their radio program on the Monday mornings on ESPN. So we'll do that as well, okay? 610-632-0975, but we'll do that on the other side. Let's go to Brian in Plymouth Meeting. What's happening, B?
Yeah, D.
What's going on, man?
I can't believe we're still talking about this Ertz play. and I, you know, like I said the other night, like I definitely have an impression overall of Ertz's season that he is not invested in the team and whatever. He's not mentally there. I mean, he may think he may even think he's trying, but he's checked out because he knows that he's not going to be on this team for very long. And you just have this thing in the back of your head that you're like going to protect yourself. Also, I mean, it also doesn't help. Like when you, in any NFL team, when they have offensive line issues, the tight end performance suffers because they kind of get held in the block or a little bit more. So that could be a part of the lack of targets as well. Plus the fact that Wentz has been playing terribly.
Yes.
So it's a whole bunch of factors. But again, on that particular play, I mean, there wasn't even time for him. The ball's already in the air when he's hit. I mean, it's illegal contact. It's pass interference.
They didn't call it.
And that's not the play we need to be killing Earth
now. No, and listen, I don't think many people did. It just looks bad now with the whole film study of 5 weeks in the books where it's like, oh, man, Zach Ertz again is just not working out for Zach Ertz, and they need him. We need him here, and he's not doing it. But, you know, look, man, the offensive line play, all of that stuff, yes, he have to put both he and Richard Rodgers in there. He's still not doing a good enough job. So when he gets out there and he's leaking out in the flat, he has to give that effort to at least body that defender up, position himself to get that call B that you're talking about. That bump that even when he does get to his route, he runs it perfectly. He sets up, and now he's boxing the guy out for the catch. We know he's not going anywhere after he catches it, but we need him to catch the football.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not about making excuses for Ertz. It's just I'm just trying to, you know, there are causes to what happened. So, you know, I just think it's a bunch of different causes. And look, hopefully we can get something decent for him at the trade deadline. But you have to wonder with the team's finances all kind of in limbo. Where's the salary cap going to be next year? Whether a team's going to want to give up anything for him because they don't know if they wanted to, you know, re-sign him to a new deal, which he's going to want if he's traded. You know, another team may not even know if they are going to be able to do that.
So. Yeah, yeah. Would you trade him if this continues?
Well, you know where I stand on this team. We're
I know, but for the people who haven't heard you say it, I wanted to ask you again.
Yeah, I mean, I think pretty much all the veterans are goners to cut salary cap next year anyway. So if you get whatever you can get for guys, and there is like the calculus of, you know, if a guy loses a free agent, you get the compensation pick. So they have to like weigh that. Is it worth trading him for a third when they'll get that anyway, if he's a free agent? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, they should be, this team's not going to the Super Bowl. So they should be trying to move whoever they can move for whatever they can get.
I agree with you, man. B, give us a score.
Lamar Jackson, 42, Eagles, 6.
All right, man. You got it. It clear as day. Clear as day, B. Thanks for the call, man. We'll talk to you.
Later.
Lamar Jackson, 42, Philadelphia, 6. 610-632. 0975. Oh man, Devon Givens hanging out with you here on the show here. 610-632-0975. We're going until 10 o'clock. And Zach Ertz, man, you need more. You need more. And there are a lot of factors. Tyler laid out his factors. You just also heard what Brian in Plymouth Meeting was saying about him staying on the offensive line to help out with the chip blocking and all of that stuff. Both of them are 100% correct. They are. I mean, but my only problem is, it's like, yo, can you do something here? Can you help out the squad a little bit? Can you help out the squad a little bit here?
I think helping out the squad a little bit this week might actually not be in a statistical form.
Yeah.
It might not be. I think Brian is on to something there.
Okay.
It's a rotating panel of offensive linemen. Some of them have been much better than advertised.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have been about what we expected. It's a new right guard this week. You know, I don't know. I don't know if that's not necessarily the formula is keeping the tight ends
into block,
in the block, and
he's
at the
not
line
a
of scrimmage.
Blocker.
I know he's not.
Even when he helps out blocking,
he's
it doesn't help.
Body. That's all you can ask for.
Yeah, but they've still been getting there. So if you need that extra, who's your, DeSean Jackson is no longer available. Alshon Jeffrey, the same thing. You're looking at Greg Ward, Travis Fulgham, who they're going to take away. If you don't have him out there, they're going to give Greg Ward his 5 yards every time that they do it. Because you're not throwing the football every time. You're running it. They're stopping Miles Sanders. Now you're going five. Then where else are you going with the football? Well, you have to be able to get some of these things out there.
You're going to have to play Pittsburgh Steelers football then. You're going to have to play 16, 17 play drives that go five, six, 7 yards at a time. And you're just going to go chunk, chunk, chunk.
No, I hear you. I want it. I want it. He has to be a part of it. Richard Rodgers is the one that's going to have to be that guy who does that blocking.
Well, yeah, they're going to have to play two tight end sets.
Well, they're always going to go 13. Not always, but they're going to go 13 a lot because, to your point, the offensive line is banged up. They need the help. 610-632-0975. Guys, hang on. Kay, we'll start with you. Mike Rod, we just lost a couple of people. 610-632-0975. Zach Ertz, is this the game that he busts out against the Ravens? I don't know. Let's talk about it right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Oh, look at that. Classic comeback with this one. Tal, I need you to rock the mic here. Go ahead. You got to jump in. With Freeway and Beans and everybody. Go ahead, man.
I'm not even going to pretend like I know the words. That would be so disrespectful to these guys.
610-632-0975. Tyler was going to, you know, rock the mic on a Friday night.
You know what I'll
Friday.
Do? You know what I'll do for you this weekend while I got some time?
Uh-huh.
I'll learn some of the words.
Did you stop that? Did you stop the music?
I can get it.
Is it all the way going?
I can get it back for you.
All right. Because, you know, that's a classic. It's a classic with Freeway, you know, in the group, you know, the crew, State Property, doing everything in there. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10, talking to Birds. How do they get it done this weekend? What needs to happen? The keys to the game. And, of course, Zach Ertz, he has to step up. We haven't seen Zach Ertz. And you know how you do the hands when you're out and you're kind of just looking and you're putting the hand over your eyes trying to find out where it is? Where is it? Where is Zach Ertz? He's been playing 5 games, 20 receptions, 35 targets, 145 yards, and one score. That one score came in the Washington game at the start of the season, and they lost that one. 610-632-0975. K in Northfield. We actually had a couple of people dropped off. We still have people, but a few dropped off. If you want to check in, 610-632-0975. K in North Philly. K.
Hello, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Hey, good evening. First of all, big fan, Devon. You're one of my guys officially now. It's pretty much you and Anthony Gargano. So I just wanted to, you know, congratulate you. You do a fantastic job. And so I just wanted to give you your props.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Thank you.
You deserve it, bro. You deserve it. As far as the game, I have a couple points. So I talked to your producer about why I think the Eagles have a chance to win the game, and it actually ties into what I believe is the one issue with Zach Ertz that people haven't addressed. I think people have talked about, you know, whether it's coaching or contract or having to block because of the offensive line. But I think that the Eagles consciously in the offseason, and it's reflected in their draft, I think they wanted to shift from this crappy dink and dunk 7 yards passing game. I think the Eagles this year made a conscious shift to try to push the ball down the field. It's reflected in their draft picks, all their all their wide receivers ran, you know, run a 4.3, you know, 5.40, or in that range. I think that they came in this year and said, okay, we're working too hard to score points. We need to push the ball down the field. We have a strong arm quarterback. Accuracy is not his thing, but pushing the ball down the field is. And I think that is the one thing that people haven't addressed. I think they have consciously changed their strategy. So that piece, I wanted to, you know, introduce that into the fold to say, obviously, Zach Ertz is not the downfield threat that some of these other guys, Deshaun and company, are. So that's the first point that I wanted to make about his potential loss in, or lack of production. And I think that ties into how you beat Baltimore and a potential for beating Baltimore. So the way the Eagles can are designed, this is, to me, this is how they're designed. They think this is how they want to play. They want to quick strike you, get out ahead, get a lead, and then they have a gazillion dollars invested in the defensive line because they want to sick the dogs on you after they get that lead, you know, whatever, you know, two scores or whatever. I think that's how they want to play. They're designed to quick strike, get ahead, have that lead, and then, you know, and then they have miles there, you know, to potentially, you know, kind of slowly secure that win. And I think that if you can actually apply the formula, which I think the Eagles were attempting to apply, and get a lead on Baltimore, and you're at home, and you have the boost of energy from fans, I think that that, in addition to, you know, us being pretty good against the run, the situation which people have mentioned in terms of Baltimore's schedule and our schedule is finally returning home, I think there is a chance, though the numbers clearly aren't in our favor when you look at, you know, the defenses, et cetera, I think that the situation and kind of a gut feeling that I have, I think that we got a shot at this one. I really have, think we have a legitimate shot. But most of it's gut, but I think strategically, if we play how we envision ourselves playing and the offense is improving, I think we do have a shot at getting ahead and putting pressure on.
A lot of this stuff at this point, Kay, is gut when it comes to a 1-3-1 team and you have a tough game ahead of you with the opponent being who they are. So it you know, I don't have a problem with the gut feeling. We've been following sports for many years, Kay. Sometimes you just have a gut feeling and it works out. So there's no way I'm going to sit here and say, Kay, you're wrong, because I hope that you are right. I hope that they learn in how to keep contained on the edge and not let Lamar Jackson beat them. Make him, you know, start scrambling and circling around like he, you know, he's some bug about to be stomped on outside on the ground because he's lost and he doesn't know where to go, you know. But, you know, but we've seen it far too many times where that has hurt the Philadelphia Eagles. We've seen far too many times when Lamar Jackson has turned a bad play into a great play because of his athletic ability. So I hope that you're right. I hope they do find a way to win this game. And I hope that game plan that you're speaking of is the way to go. I really do, man. What's the score?
That's a good question. I hadn't really thought that piece through. But I think that if we're able to get that lead, that puts us in a situation to win. Mm-hmm. And I think that we could probably, we're not going to score, you know, we're not going to score 30 points on these guys, but I do see us putting up 24-27. And if we're able to get that lead and put pressure on Lamar to beat us throwing from the pocket, then I think that limits them. And maybe it's a, you know, 27-24 Eagles type of game.
Okay.
That's the formula. But how do you feel? Let me ask you this. If we do get a, let's say we're able to get a 14-point lead and force them to throw, at that point, what's your perspective? What do you think our prospects on winning the game are at that point? How do you feel that changes the dynamic?
All right. Kay, thanks for the call, man. Thank you. Appreciate the kind words and have a great weekend, man. I'll answer that question for you. Thank you, man.
You got it.
All right.
Thank you.
The only thing that scares me there is this. You throw the football because you should. Number one, let's go to Baltimore's side to what Kay is saying. You have a 14-point lead and they have to throw the football. If you feel confident that you can keep Lamar Jackson kind of bottled up where your coverage down the field is good enough and he's forcing throws and it's taking him out of his comfort zone, you're obviously in a good place. But if he is able to move and run and those guys are getting open and you're allowing the receivers, Hollywood Brown, right, is out there moving around, Mark Andrews is moving around, and the extended play where you're able to now find a soft spot in the defense, and Lamar Jackson hits you. Next thing you know, the running game picks up five. You come back again. They start picking away at it where they are not panicking. And I say that because the 14-point lead that Kay is talking about, then you go to the other side. Well, we've seen far too many times where you'll have that lead, and Doug Peterson then, the only way for them to keep that lead is to throw the football because you want to run up the score a little more. You don't want to take your foot off the gas. We don't want you to take your foot off the pedal either. But we want you to do it smartly. We want you to do it the right way. We want you to both run and pass the football, mix it up, and get that, as Kay was just talking about, 14-point lead. But also, as Tyler pointed out earlier, where you have a sustained 14-play drive. And when I mentioned time of possession winning that battle, where it works out. Where I get scared, Kay, is you have that 14-point lead, and let's say they get a field goal and it's now down to, you know, they take the three, is down to 11. Doug Peterson is going to try to throw the ball too much. He's not going to give Miles Sanders the rock. Let's say they do have this 15-play drive that works out for the Eagles. Forget about it. Forget about 15-play because it's not going to happen. Let's go 10-play drive, all right? Miles Sanders is going to run the ball maybe three times. Three times.
That's fine.
Is it? If it's a
sustained drive, sure.
If he's doing stuff, though, I need a few more to then make the defense come up and try to stop him. That will allow the pass to work out. So if it's working out that way, yes. But if he's doing it because Miles Sanders only got 3 yards and he didn't think that was enough on first down, where it's second and seven, he's not going to give it to him back-to-back. He's not.
Yeah, but if Miles Sanders goes three carries on that 10 plays and then catches a pass, now you're going from 30 to 40%. I know it's only one play, but he's touching the ball in 40% of your drive. I mean, that
if he does hit him on as a receiver.
Correct.
Yes.
I mean, it that all becomes pertinent if Carson Wentz can make the read and hit him in the hands.
And if we have seen it already where they have been kind of chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. Miles Sanders catches one for four. Miles Sanders catches one for another four. And then Miles Sanders catches one finally where he goes for 17. All right, you broke their back. But, Kay, I'm just afraid, Kay, that Doug Peterson will be pass happy and he'll start to, there'll be incompletions. The clock will stop. The Ravens will get the ball back and they'll do Ravens things, Lamar Jackson things. And they'll ultimately win the game because Doug Peterson is not coaching the right way. He's aggressive, but he's aggressive the wrong way. We like aggressiveness, but be smart about it. 610-632-0975-910. The weekly pick segment with Tyler Zuli and myself. See where we are in the standings. Connor Thomas will be last in this particular case. Rod in Southwest. Rod.
Hey, D, man, how you feeling?
Hey, man, I'm doing all right, man. How about you?
I'm all right.
Good.
This is going to sound far-fetched,
man. Let's do it.
But you ever notice teams that catch coronavirus, it seemed like they'd be playing super hard. The Titans caught coronavirus, and they blew the hell out the Skins. I mean the Bills. They beat them, what, like 42 to what?
Yeah, they thumped them on Tuesday, yeah.
Coming back off of coronavirus, so maybe the Eagles need to get a friendly coronavirus, a sports-friendly coronavirus.
Oh, man.
But, man, I just wanted to say, too, man, like, how come a guy that we got off the street is 30 times better than almost every draft pick that we have in the last, what, two games he's shown that he's better than all the draft picks that we have. I mean, we don't really know too much about what Jalen Reagor is yet.
No.
He's getting injured.
Yep.
But, I mean, it just really don't make no sense that a guy named Travis Fulgham, who's been cut numerous times.
By the Eagles once.
And that's what what are they seeing? And big shout out to Farzetta, man. If he's listening right now, big shout out to Farzetta, because I 1,000% agree.
fire Howie Roseman, man. We can't have you consistently ruining these drafts for us, and then we got to get tortured looking at DK Metcalf in a Seahawks jersey when that bird is supposed to be an eagle and it's supposed to be a green jersey. When, you know, how come we don't listen to the fan base when we at least just give us, I don't want one wish that if the fan base is telling the organization, draft this player. Because it looked like we got more hits in the draft than the actual people that's picking the talent guy. You know what I'm saying,
D? Nah, I got you.
Man, I love you, man. I love you, D. Man, keep it up, bro.
Hey, man, before you go, you got to give us a pick, Rob, before you go. Appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm going to say, you know what? The Eagles always beating teams that they're not supposed to
beat. No business beating. So, okay.
I'm going to take the Eagles plus, like, 7.
All right, I'll just go with the plus 7. You got it, right? Yo, have a great weekend, man. Appreciate the kind words, man. Love you back. You got it. 610-632-0975. They have no business beating, as Rod just said, the Baltimore Ravens, and they'll find a way to do it. But I don't think Howie Roseman is going to be fired because he and Jeffrey Lurie are too close right now. And I know the whole Joe Banner thing, but Howie Roseman won the title a couple of years ago. He's going to get a little bit of a leash here.
Well, and what Rod said right there is exactly how I felt, you know, last week against when they played the Steelers was they're kind of in desperation mode. And what desperate teams do is, and I felt this way against San Fran, and they won that game.
Okay.
You know, they're in desperation mode. And what desperate teams do is fight more so than what they normally do.
Uh-huh.
Right? So in a lot of instances, that desperation leads to a win. When you're desperate and the talent discrepancy is so great, that desperation leads to, I don't know, a hard-fought loss, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I have it, you know, like I said, I have it at 16. And maybe it's the Ravens score late to put it away. Maybe the Eagles score late to make it a closer game. It's just, to me, the talent difference between these two teams is significant.
Yes.
And it's not going to be pretty.
No, I think it's significant also. When we were doing the draft with Joe Torti and we were covering those couple of days, Thursday, Friday, we didn't do the weekend, but Thursday and Friday, and we're sitting there, we're saying, my goodness, how do they just keep doing this? They get Patrick Queen, then they follow up with J.K. Dobbins. The offseason, I know some people look at Calais Campbell and say, oh, Calais Campbell's not doing anything, but it's a veteran on the defensive line that just has, he just has, you know, experience and he's going to get attention while he's out there. Just, he's good. He's not great any longer, but he's good. You have to pay attention. 610-632-0975. This team is a good, and while Calais Campbell may not be ripping it up, guess what? Like we said last night, this is a team. Lamar Jackson, of course, he's the head of the entire thing. Hollywood Brown is probably the only receiver that you can mention. But they are a team, very well coached, good players, and they win.
Well, and you know, you mentioned their draft too, and you went with the top couple of guys, and that's proven to be great already. But if you look at kind of the back end of their draft, the third round and later, this team, I mean, Justin Madubuike had a leg injury and hasn't played yet. He's a defensive tackle from Texas A&M. I think is going to be really, really good. They draft Devin Duvernay. He's already returned a kick for a touchdown.
Former quarterback.
There you go. they drafted Malik Harrison, who I think it has some upside as well. James Prochet from SMU, was going to be a much more highly touted receiver than what he ended up doing. They had a great draft.
Yes.
And it's not just the top two picks. They're just the ones that stand out right now.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones. Check in with our guy, Chris in Wallingford. What's up, Chris?
What's up, Tyler? How y'all doing tonight?
What's going on, man?
All right, man. This Eagle talk's killing me.
So let's do it.
Here was my issue with the Eagles when they're talking. So they're outthinking themselves. They're trying to prove they're smarter than everyone else with these off-the-wall draft picks, not going for that blue-chip player. And by doing so, they won't revert to a player like a Fulham, like a Ward, like Mailata. And here was my point with Mailata. So you draft him to top whatsoever.
Oh, okay. Do me one favor, Chris. Say that last part again about Mailata. You went out for a second.
Okay. I'm sorry. So you draft him 2 or 3 years back as a development player, perfect, seventh round. The entire offseason, you know you don't have a left tackle once Biller gets hurt. So instead of saying, okay, let's give this young man a try, and I understand in football you don't have time, but you then give Peters more money and you're struggling at guard. Bang, Peters goes down, kind of knew that was going to happen anyway. And look, the kids excel it. Maybe game time is where these guys come from. You have your white sides drafted early. You have, a bunch of these other guys drafted early that they're afraid to bring Greg Ward in, allowing Fulgham to play, allowing Mailata to get his feet wet so nobody can say, hey, I told you so. Okay, I think maybe they have too much pride to say, hey, we were wrong. And if you go back, I don't know, maybe 8 or 10 years now, the Seahawks paid, I believe his name was Matt Finn, a crap ton of money after his...
Green Bay. Yep.
Yeah. But guess what? He never was named the starter. Russell Wilson was the better football player and said, you know what? We're going to eat this $100 million contract we gave him. Now, mind you, it wasn't guaranteed at the time, but they weren't afraid to say, hey, we were wrong, and went with the better player.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's hurting me with the Eagles, right? You have just sitting around while your front office thinks they're outsmarting the entire league. And that's killing me. And not to be the dead horse, but Metcalf, I mean, like, you know, how do you pass up on a guy of that skill set?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
So real quick with the Sixers, prior to this season, this offseason, when you brought Dave Yeager, I didn't know a whole lot about him. You spoke highly of him. I did a little research on him. And, man, this guy looks like an absolute genius with stones the size of boulders. Because, for a coach to tell your GM...
the Luka part? The Luka thing?
I mean, I told you I wanted Luka, and the reason we're losing is because you didn't draft him. I mean, that's the kind of coach you want.
Yo, Chris.
You want a coach that's not just going to say, yes, sir, I'm going to do it, That's the kind of coach you want.
Yo,
and
did you see during your research where he every time Bagley and Luka were about to face off,
yes,
where he would be like, I'm tired of answering these questions, but I told y'all I wanted Luka.
All right, and this is why he's coaching Bagley.
Yes.
And which I absolutely love. Now, hopefully he could bring that to the Sixers and have Ben, and once again, not to be the dead horse, but to have Ben Simmons just, and I don't care about threes, shoot a 12, 16-foot mid-range jump shot, because that will open everything up. That opens up the entire floor for the rest of the team.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Listen.
I'm sorry, Devon. Let me just say this because I know I'm about to.
Yeah, go for it.
The only thing that scares me about Doc Rivers is I read a couple articles of like Patrick Beverley's, your Harrell's, your bench players. You're non-stars of the team, not liking the fact that Kawhi Leonard was.
Yes.
And I truly believe that has a big part of Ben Simmons. Because, Brett Brown was his dad's coach or coached together, and I believe he was treated differently than the rest of the team.
Yes.
So can Doc Rivers, now with Dave Yeager, say, listen, you need to do this. There's no options. Like, does the combination of those two hard-nosed coaches get him to perform?
I got you, man. You got
have a great night.
Hey, Chris, thank you, man. Appreciate it. Listen, I'll answer that on the other side. Sean, we'll get to you first because at 9:10 we have our pick segment, and I'll answer Chris's point on Doc Rivers and Yeager with Ben Simmons as well. 610-632-0975. Chris, Sean, you'll start us off. We'll get to the picks, then we'll take the rest of the phone calls. We go until 10 on this Football Friday here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
901-97.5 The Fanatic, coming to you from the Xfinity Studio. Only from Comcast, 610-632-0975. 910, upcoming, we will give you our picks of the week. All right, we'll give you our picks of the week. Yeah, so 610-632-0975. I was looking for this. Let me see if I can get this before I answer the question and before we get to Sean real quick. Let me pull this up really quickly. It is Derek Gunn, my partner on the pregame show, says, I'm told Jason Peters is like 2 weeks away from returning. Okay. If Mailata plays well, returning to what? Is he going to play left tackle?
That'll be right guard.
Or are they going to move him to right guard? Tyler, you're absolutely correct. The right move is right guard if Mailata continues to play this way. So if you're talking 2 weeks, right? So we're saying this week and next week he's off, so he'll be back for the Cowboy game, which is a primetime game here at home. Then the bye week. And then New York after that one in New York. Is the smart play here to give him the extra week off or get him in there, have the bye week to recuperate and get ready for the stretch down, you know, for the Birds with the final games that they have on the schedule?
I mean, can I be honest with you really, really quickly here, Devon? The smart play is to him never see the field again. Because he was a liability out there in the first couple of weeks of the season.
At left tackle.
Still, I mean, it's going to come down to what we see out of Jamon Brown versus what we saw out of Matt Pryor versus, you know, what we're going to see out of Jason Peters playing right guard.
Okay. All right. I'm just asking, and I will ask on Sunday during the pregame show, Tyler, with Brian Westbrook and Derek Gunn. Before I answer Chris's question on Doc Rivers and Dave Yeager, let's go to Sean in Coatesville to check in with Sean and see what he thinks about the Birds on Sunday. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you feeling?
All right, man. So only I wanted to call him week, but I didn't. On Sunday, the Eagles are going to get blown out. The Ravens might not even punt. It's going to be like a shutout.
Are you an Eagle fan?
I'm not an Eagles fan.
All right, well, we're speaking as Eagle fans, and when we speak of Eagle fans and say they're going to lose, it's because we look at it logically and say they're just going to lose, and, you know, Ravens are better. Which way are you going here? Why you say they won't even punt?
Oh, because the Ravens are just so good. It's not on number two in the NFL to me. Oh, you got the Chiefs first and the Ravens. I know they had, a few bad weeks, but just overall, opposite defense, they outnumber the Eagles, a lot. It's going to be, pro team versus a JV team on Sunday.
Well, they competed very well against Pittsburgh last week, who's undefeated.
Yeah, that was all that Pittsburgh played down to him, I feel like. Pittsburgh didn't really bring their A game for the Eagles. They brought their C game for the Eagles. That's why it was close.
Or the Birds just simply played them good enough.
I think the Eagles are going to get blown out.
Listen, I don't think they're going to win, but I don't think they're going to get blown out. Now, Tyler thinks they're going to get blown out, but not to the extent of where you're going with no punting and all of that.
We'll see Sunday. And Dalton, we trust, right? I take it easy.
610-632-0975.
There was the Cowboys caller. Yeah, he had to wait till the very end, huh?
But see, listen. He doesn't understand our show here. I'm not one Chris, right? That was his name?
Sean,
sorry. Yeah, I have to answer Chris's question. My apologies. Sean, you got the wrong show, my man. We can have a conversation even about your Cowboys. Because I said it clear as day. I like Andy Dalton. I think Andy Dalton is going to still have success with the Dallas Cowboys.
I think you like Andy Dalton more than some Cowboys fans
like
Andy Dalton.
Exactly. So, Sean, you got the wrong show, my man. This wasn't the place for you to do that. You could have just said, hey, let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys and the Eagles in a division, and we could have done that. That would have been easier, Sean. But anyway, let's move on. Chris asks about Doc Rivers and Dave Yeager potentially, and at 9:10 coming up in 4 minutes, our weekly pick segment. Connor Thomas is last. Chris wanted to know about Doc Rivers and Dave Yeager and their impact on Ben Simmons. And Jamie mentioned this during the Draftline show at from 6 to 7, where he talked about the fact that the defense is going to be there. Tyler pointed out Ben Simmons being Defensive Player of the Year under Dave Yeager because he has that defensive reputation. Jamie wanted 5 more points a game on his average of 16, 17 points because he needs to average 22, 23 points a game. I think, Chris, that if Ben Simmons takes these guys seriously, yes, they will have an impact on what he does during the season. He'll be him because he's talented. He'll get 17 because that's what he does. 9 and 8 or 8 and 7, whatever it will be with the other statistical things. His defense will be there. He'll be in the tops of steals overall, steals per game, steals total on the year, and he'll be an all defensive player again. Taking that next step to be the Defensive Player of the Year that Tyler's talking about, that is him being healthy. That is him being locked in every single night. And that is, Chris, Doc Rivers and Dave Yeager holding him accountable overall with his game. Will he accept that as a challenge is the question. I think he is coachable. I don't know if he's ever been fully challenged this way, where he will be with Rivers and even Yeager to some extent. But Chris, I think this is good for his career. I do. Now, the Patrick Beverly and Montrezl Harrell part that you're speaking of, where they had questions about how Kawhi Leonard and even to some extent Paul George were catered to as stars, they needed to get over that because that's what happens with your stars. We talk about it here where the catering happens. Simmons and Embiid have proven stuff, but they haven't proven enough like Kawhi Leonard has over his career winning the title a season ago to have that catering for him. So he needs to get over that, right? Those two guys need to get over that. Or they're just not going to be winners at all, Beverly and Harrell. Doc Rivers had his issues with Montrezl Harrell, from what I understand, where some of those issues came in the form of, just didn't think he was good, but not as good as he thought he was. Stars get preferential treatment. Kawhi Leonard is a superstar. Simmons and Embiid have not reached that plateau yet. They are stars. They are not yet superstars, although they should be. That's on them that they are not superstars. Not Brett Brown, not Elton Brand, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. They are not done. They have not reached the top of their game yet because I think that they have both so much to show on the court consistently that we have not seen yet. And if they do that, Chris, Doc Rivers will be this head coach here for a long time, even though he already has a 5-year deal. And Dave Yeager will be coaching somewhere else because the success will come along with it. And that assistant coach is going to be plucked off of a bench of a winning team like the Philadelphia 76ers if they're in the Eastern Conference Finals and then the NBA Finals. So I think, Chris, that these two will be helpful for Ben Simmons going forward. This is good for his career. The question is, will he accept the challenge from these two and go out there because they are not his guys, but just accept the coaching and go be a better basketball player? That's the question. That's the question. And I have to look at it and say, you know what? I think he will accept it. I do. I really do. 610-632-0975. All right, folks. It's about that time. For the weekly pick segment here on Football Friday night, right? a Football Friday on the Fanatic is driven by AAA. Wherever the open road takes you, take AAA. I don't know if I took a substantial lead last week. So Tyler Zuli, let us know about last week and our overall season numbers through 5 weeks.
So last week something happened that hadn't happened in the first five or first 4 weeks of the year, I should say.
You won?
I did, in fact. So you and I tied for each of the first 3 weeks with identical records. Then in week four, you went 2-0-1. I went 1-2. This week, however, this past week, I was 2-1. You were 1-2.
Mm.
So after 5 weeks, Devon, you are 9-4-2 against the spread.
9-4-2.
I am 9-5-1. Just a half game separating the two of us.
Look at that.
Pretty, you know, quite honestly, both pretty darn good.
That is pretty good. What did Connor do?
Connor was 1-2.
All right, Connor was 1-2. He's done.
Yeah, we're not calling him up this week.
We could have called him. But
I told him if he went 3-0, he better be waiting for a call on Friday evening.
He did not. All right, let's go. You go first since
yes.
You won last week.
All right, so we're going to start. I guess we're going to go in a little bit of a reverse order here because this is actually the only favorite that I have this week. We're going to go to the late game on Monday night and go up against your best friend. That would be one Mr. Andy Dalton. So listen, the Arizona Cardinals have played teams this year, have beaten teams this year, I should say, that have a 3-12 combined record. I don't know how good this team actually is at 3-2, but the one thing that I do know is that the Dallas Cowboys have just one interception in the first 5 weeks, a -8 turnover ratio. They've given up over 2,000 total yards in the first 5 weeks of the season, and opponents have a time of possession against them of over 33 minutes per game. That defense has been horrible, and they've been saved quite a few weeks by the fact that their offense has been quite good. We'll see what happens when you get 60 full minutes of Andy Dalton this week. That is why, even on the road on Monday night,
ooh,
I am taking the Arizona Cardinals -1 in
ooh,
Dallas.
I like it. I like it. It helps out the Birds fan, of course, here in Philadelphia. But we got to wait all the way until Monday night.
Wait till Monday night. You know I normally Monday don't night. Do that.
Wow. And we'll be on the air during that one. So
we got two Monday night games this week.
I know. And I will get to one of them later on. But I will start off in Tennessee. Short week. Playing on Tuesday, October 13th, just 3 days ago. They laid it down on the Buffalo Bills 42-16 after the COVID-19 hit the locker room and the organization of the Tennessee Titans. But no problem. They come back. They get it done. Derrick Henry, 19 carries, 57 yards, 2 scores. Right? All right. No big deal. He did what he did. Stiff arm. Put Josh Norman on his back. That became a meme and put him in other different things. And I was happy about it. And he started to swing at Derrick Henry on his, you know, his tumble rollover because it was that bad. It was that effective. But they are home again for the Houston Texans, who picked up their first victory of the season that did the Texans 30-14 over the Jacksonville Jaguars after they have their new head coach in town because Bill O'Brien is out, Romeo Crennel. Jacksonville had a chance. They had a chance. But Tennessee, Houston put up 17 in the fourth quarter. I thought Jacksonville would cover that number. Houston would win the game. It was a 5.5. And you know what Joe Torty says, stay away from 4 and 5s, 5.5, stay away from that. But in this case, it's a 3.5 for the Titans at home. And despite the short week, and despite the fact that Texans picked up their first win, that was a thing of the coach and a bad team. They got it done at home. Tennessee wins by more than 3.5, picking up their fifth win of the season and remaining undefeated on this season. I got the Tennessee Titans with the 3.5.
If Tennessee can win this game, they're going to prove to me, and I know that Houston is not a class-defining, you know, football team. They're 1-4 for a reason.
Always tough.
But like you said, they're going to play on 4 days rest. If they can win this game, Tennessee is legit.
A.J. Brown is back.
Yes.
He's healthy. Derrick Henry again. A light night. Light night with only 57 yards on 19 carries. I expect something better against this Houston Texans team.
And Ryan Tannehill has done
just
enough.
He finds a way. He finds a way.
All right, so you just took a team from the AFC South, so I'll follow suit and do the same. That exact team that you were talking about that you thought might be able to cover against those Houston Texans and eventually did not. The Jacksonville Jaguars became the first team in you know, however many years, I got to go back and find the number, but it's an insane amount of years to lose three straight games against teams that have won that teams that won that game were winning their first game of the season. They did it in three consecutive weeks. It's pretty impressive and actually kind of hard to do. This week, not so fast. The Detroit Lions, in their three losses this season, have given up 27, 42, and 35. They've given up 9 passing touchdowns, 6 rushing touchdowns. I need to see a big day from Mr. Mustache himself, Gardner Minshew, and James Robinson as well out of the backfield. That's one of my guys that I really liked coming out of school that was a little bit underrated because he was playing FCS football. Mm-hmm. The Jacksonville Jaguars are going to get back on the winning track and not only cover 3.5, but win this game against Detroit at home outright.
Ooh, a little LaVishka in this game.
Yes, sir.
A little LaVishka in this game, huh? All right, I like that. Again, Tyler's showing he's not scared. Not scared because he has a 9-5-1 record right now. Half game. Half game. Well, guess what, my man? I'm going to the NFC. I'm heading back to the NFC. I'm going right now to the NFC South. Big game on Sunday. NFC South and the NFC North clash as the Green Bay Packers travel to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay 3-2. Aaron Rodgers and company 4-0. Looks like maybe Devontae Adams is back this week. 4-0 traveling. Right now, they are a 1-point favorite on the road against Tampa Bay. And with Tampa Bay giving up what they do give up, 112 points against, a plus 27 difference right now, but they lost last week. And with that, even though they're back at home, things just still do not seem right. Now, Chris Godwin looks like he's going to play. But guess what? I think this Green Bay team is legit. Aaron Rodgers is playing with this different type of thing. He has his running game going. They're on the road. 4:25 kick. It is the primetime game, as we know, at 4:25. I'm going Aaron Rodgers, who is a better quarterback today, even, again, an older quarterback, than is Tampa Brady. I'm going Green Bay. As the favorite on the road with the one, they're going to win this one outright.
Last week, you and I went head-to-head in a game that was a 1-point line. I took Cleveland, you took Indianapolis.
Yes.
Cleveland ends up winning that game by much more than one.
Mm-hmm.
Can I do it 2 weeks in a row? In fact, I will do it two weeks in a row.
Tampa Bay.
Because the Green Bay Packers are 4-0. They're legit. Aaron Rodgers is, of course, on his front office revenge tour.
He's on a mission.
For having them selected, not only selected, but traded up to select Jordan Love.
Yes.
But the Green Bay Packers are 4-0 on the strength of a 5-14 opponent's record to begin the season. Mm-hmm. They're a great team. Don't get me wrong. I think that they have proven me wrong so far. But Tom Brady is coming off a loss, and we know what Tom Brady does coming off of losses. This one in particular was a bad loss. They lose 20-19 on Thursday night, which means they get extra rest heading into this game. Let's go head-to-head for the second straight
week,
Devon. I'm taking the Tampa Bay Bucks plus one outright.
Let's do it. I like it. I like it. Head-to-head. I will be texting during that game, Tyler. Getting ready. My final play of the week, I'm going back to Monday night. Tyler went Monday night early with Arizona and Dallas, with Arizona covering that on the road and beating Andy Dalton. Well, I'm going to Buffalo, and I'm going with the Chiefs, who got spanked. Even though they put up some points, they got spanked and embarrassed by those Las Vegas Raiders. That was a division game. This not be won, because as they get ready for the Buffalo Bills, who are 4-1, coming off that loss short week, Kansas City angry. Kansas City angry. And you get Le'Veon Bell. Since we are short on time here, I don't have to get into it much. It's simple. Kansas City is a better team than Buffalo. I'm going to make a statement to you right now that you are not in my class. And I come off this loss last week. Pat Mahomes picks it back up. Le'Veon Bell scores in this game along with Clyde Helaire-Edwards, Tyreek Hill, Harp, everybody. Light up the scoreboard in Buffalo. It's going to get ugly. Kansas City covering that 4 on the road in Buffalo, Tyler.
Devon, you've now selected the Kansas City Chiefs three straight weeks.
I'm going every week.
And I lost so far, you're 1-1.
Yes.
Hoping to get back on track. You know what? You know how much I love the Bills.
They go crazy.
You know how much I love that Bills defense in particular. The Kansas City Chiefs outclass the Buffalo Bills.
Is your boy playing this week?
I don't know yet. I have to go in and check. You're speaking of Tre'Davious White, of course.
He's not playing. Lights out. He's already lights out.
The Kansas City Chiefs outclass the Buffalo Bills. Yeah. And it's probably, I think it's closer than what you think.
Mm-hmm.
But if Kansas City hung a 40 spot this week, I would not be shocked.
To make a point.
Correct.
Again, to make a point. Tyler Zuli, enjoy this one.
Yeah, we've got a Monday night game, so we'll be here. And we're going head-to-head for the second straight week.
So we have two games to pay attention to.
Yes, sir.
On Monday night. So I went with the Kansas City Chiefs over the Buffalo Bills and the 4. I also took the Tennessee Titans at home on a short week with the 3.5 over the visiting Houston Texans division game, but still. And I also selected the Green Bay Packers -1 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa. Light up the scoreboard down, not light it up, but they're going to beat them on the road. So they cover their own number. Of course, Tyler Zuli went the opposite way with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Also went with the Jacksonville Jaguars at home to beat the Detroit Lions. Look at that. And he also went with, and I think everybody would like this, when the Arizona Cardinals on the road to take down the Dallas Cowboys. So those are our weekly picks. We are at this point 9-5-1 for Tyler, 9-4-2 for me, and 1-2 for Connor Thomas in his lone appearance on the weekly NFL selections. Go cash those in. You see our record. You see our record. Come on. Go ahead, DraftKings. Got to do it. All right, final segment on the other side. We'll wrap things up with the birds. We'll again finish things up with my thoughts on Dave Yeager, because I still keep saying I'm going to do it and I don't do it. I'm going to do it on the other side. And then we'll wrap things up and get you set for the weekend. All right, final segment on the other side right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Final segment on this Football Friday. 610-632-0975. We mentioned that we wanted to share this Keyshawn Johnson clip from the morning show with Jay Williams and Zubin Williams and Johnson.
That's and Keyshawn. Yep.
Yeah. So he was talking about the birds this weekend, actually, about their chances. So quickly, here, before we run out of time, because sometimes you get so busy with other things, you forget about one. But we're not going to forget about this one. Here's Keyshawn Johnson this morning on the show talking about the birds and the Ravens.
Philadelphia in this football game doesn't have a chance. I'm going to take the Baltimore Ravens. If you think about it, these two quarterbacks have taken the most punishment with quarterbacks this season in Lamar Jackson as well as Carson Wentz. But Lamar Jackson has to get the passing game going. Why not against the Philadelphia Eagles? This is certainly the medicine that can cure that for Lamar and the Baltimore Ravens.
The passing game going. Keyshawn Johnson on their morning show saying the Birds have no chance. No chance. And Tyler Zuli has basically said, with his score 33-17,
yes,
that the Birds have no chance.
See, I don't think that they don't have
a chance,
any chance,
right?
But like I said to you earlier in the show, I feel very much like I felt the week that they went into New Orleans and eventually got, you know, absolutely beaten off the field, 48-7. I don't feel like they're going to lose by 41, but I feel like they're never going to be in this game. The only chance they have is, like we talked about, long, sustained, time-consuming drives.
Okay. All right. All right, you and Keyshawn, but not as far as Keyshawn is going. But yes.
Close, though.
Close, though. Close, though. 610-632-0975. Okay. I have not given my thoughts really on Dave Yeager outside of the fact that I just like Dave Yeager coming from Sacramento. He has been out and he has not had a gig because he was let go by the Sacramento Kings 2 seasons ago now because Luke Walton has been there ever since. When we were talking to Chris, he said that he had heard me mention him and I appreciate him, you know, taking what I said and you know, taking anything from that. In what he believes is a good coach. So he followed up and he did some research and he said that looking at what they have now in Dave Yeager, that Chris now likes the idea of Yeager. Of course, he has to go out there and show it and prove that he is worthy of the conversations that we've been having. But what I liked about Dave Yeager from the very beginning was the work that he did while with the Memphis Grizzlies a few years ago where they got to the Western Conference Finals. I just liked him from afar where that when the West was the West, they were always in the thick of things. And I know that Lionel Hollins did, in fact, help put that team together. Really, he was the one who guided that team. He's still a young guy at 46 years of age. Once again, head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies, head coach of the Sacramento Kings. You heard Chris mention the Luka Doncic part. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, again, just quickly, he wanted Luka Doncic in the draft. It's revisionist history. You can say anybody. I wanted Jason Tatum over Markelle Fultz. Like, you can say anything, right? But this was true. And then the stories would happen when he would openly say it because Luka was already having success. Marvin Bagley was okay, but he wasn't great yet as a number two pick in that draft where Luka, I believe, went fourth or fifth in that particular draft because, yeah, it was the trade with Trae Young and Atlanta and all of that. So whenever the Sacramento Kings would play, the conversations would come up about Marvin Bagley. Why was it relevant? Because Luka Doncic coming from where he came from and Vlade Divac coming from where he comes from over there in their countries, right? In Europe, he had a very good knowledge of Luka Doncic and the type of player he was. So obviously they scouted him even more because they knew who he was, obviously a top prospect. Well, cocky as he is, Vlade Divac decided, I don't need him because of I know enough about him. He's not good enough. And I don't know if the stuff where their countries are and stuff comes into play here. I mean, that stuff is real over there, right? He was tired of the questions, Dave Yeager. So whenever they would face off, during the time that Dave Yeager was coaching, I believe that was their rookie season, he was fed up and he would just simply answer the question honestly. I wanted him. I wanted him. I said it in our meetings. I thought we were going to take him. We did not take him. The rest is history. Eventually, Dave Yeager was let go. It wasn't because of performance with the team. The Sacramento Kings are always bad. He only coached there for 3 seasons. He was 32-50, 27-55, 39-43. So you saw, all right, normal Sacramento stuff. He takes over. They're not good. 27, they're still not good. There's a lot to overcome. The talent is not good. They get 39 wins and 43 losses. They were in the talks for a final playoff spot in the West that season. He gets fired. Was that performance-based? Come on. Now, I'm not saying he's the greatest coach out there. But what I'm saying is I think he's a better coach than what that situation was. No one wins in Sacramento.
It's performance-based if he goes from 49 to 39, but from going to, what was it, 28, you said, to 39?
32, 27, 39.
Okay, so, yeah, it was a small dip in year two.
12-plus.
And then incremental improvement
plus
in year 12. Three.
Come on, he's plus 12 wins, right? Plus 12 wins. I mean,
Kings have had one good team over the last 30 years.
they stink. Now, look, again, when he started, 50-32, Lionel Hollins already had them in the, as a winning team. 55-27, plus five. Then they dipped the year after where they lost. They were minus 13 in the win column, 42-40. I think they made the playoffs every season, maybe not that last season in Memphis. And he is a guy who speaks his mind. He is. I've also heard some other things that may not be favorable with him. And, you know, that's just what it is. But he was the coach of the month in January and in April for the 13-14 season where they won 50 games. He was the coach of the month in November where they won 55 games that season. I think he's a good coach. I do. I liked him as the head coach for the Sixers. They got him in an even better spot where he's the assistant. Guys, if this team succeeds and they win, and you can see an improvement with their team overall with what Dave Joerger does as well with the defensive stuff, he is going to leave after one season because I just think he's that good. So I like it. I like the opportunity that is now here with the staff. Nothing against Brett Brown's staff, but we would always say, you know, their player development, their assistant coaches, they have to be better. My favorite during his time here was always Kevin Young. I thought he worked his tail off as an assistant coach. Mike D'Antoni was here for a second. Emi Udoka, listen, I don't know. I like Lloyd Pierce as well. I was never a big Billy Lang fan. I like some of the player development guys behind those people on the bench. But Kevin Young was hands down my favorite. And now this one, I love it. I love it. I think it'll be proven that he will show, you know, the dividends will show how they improve as a team overall. And again, he'll be gone after this season because he's too good of a coach not to be a head coach in this league.
What does this say for Ime Udoka?
I don't know. I think they all had a year left on their contracts. So what it says is he's either gone or he's going to have to take a step back because he was the defensive coach for this team as well. He's going to have to slide over one seat where this guy is the lead, Dave Joerger, I believe. And, you know, so that's what I think about what it is for Emmy at this point. I do.
So I would imagine he's probably gone at the end of next year regardless.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, he was coaching, and Dave Joerger is coaching a lot of different plays, a lot of different ways, and he is very good with his defense. Again, Memphis Grizzlies, grit and grind. A lot of that Lionel Hollins, he kept it afloat, though. They dropped off that final season. They dropped off that final season. He does some good stuff offensively as well with his style of play. But he's a good basketball person. Basketball person. He did clash. He did clash with folks. but we in Memphis, but he also did the same thing in Sacramento.
So you think about that Memphis.
And that means to me, listen, he's vocal about trying to win. Go ahead.
You think about that Memphis team, right? And the thing that you talk about it with the defense is true because Tony Allen was really that dude for a long time as one of the top perimeter defenders in all of basketball. But if you think about that team, there was not a, I don't think there was a star among that group. I think there was a lot of really good players that came together to play a really fundamentally sound, productive game of basketball. And that's why I think Dave Joerger was able to get a lot from those guys, you know, Allen and Randolph and Gasol. And it was a lot of talent, but it wasn't star to superstar driven. Any concerns there with Embiid and Simmons?
Nah, because again, a lot of this stuff falls on those two just growing as players in this league. The fact that they haven't won yet where they feel like they should have won already and the way that they were coached and all, I would hope that they look at this and say, we really need to step our games up in order for us to win. The East is going to be better. I'm not saying that Brooklyn is going to come right in and be the best team in the Eastern Conference. I'm not saying that. Miami's proven that they're going to be a problem. We already know about Boston and Toronto and Indiana. While they may take a step back, they're still going to be a problematic team in the Eastern Conference. The same thing with Milwaukee, of course, with Giannis and company. And maybe some changes will happen there. This is going to be a tough Eastern Conference. They need to strap him up and get ready. The clashes that he had with players, it's going to be interesting because he's the now assistant, not the head. So those personality traits may not show because a lot of times the head coach doesn't really click with the player. It's the assistant that they lean on that they can talk to a little more favorably overall. So I like the guy coming in. I like him in this spot as the assistant. I did want him as the head coach. But look, you got a very good choice in Doc Rivers. And now you have my choice for the head coach as the assistant coach. And I think he'll get a job in a year. So might be a very, very good assistant. And someone that Doc Rivers will trust also next to him, knowing that the success is there. They've coached against one another. He knows what it is. So I like it. You know, that little push and pull there. Doc, no, I don't think we'd do this. But the players have to buy in too. Players have to buy in too. So I like the hire. I'm happy about it. Very, very good addition to Doc Rivers' staff. I cannot wait to see. I can't wait to talk to him. You know, I want to hear what he has to say. I don't know if they'll let the assistants speak like that right now, but I want to talk to Dave Yeager because I am interested in his basketball mind and what he has here, why he chose this job as well. 610-632-0975 on the Birds if you want to get in, or even Dave Yeager before we get out of here and start our weekend. Let's go to Chuck in Las Vegas next. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's happening?
Hey, did you end up defeating the Callers in that game last night?
I think it was 9-4. 9-4.
You won.
Yes.
that's too bad, man.
Yes, I smoked everybody. So we'll do this every week, on every Thursday game night, family game night here on the Fanatic, Chuck.
All right, well, I'm going to get to this. Next time I'm at the store, you know, I'm going to spend some extra time there. I'm going to do my research, and we're not going to let that happen again.
All right, man, you got it.
But, you know, this game this weekend, Devon, I'm very worried about it, probably for reasons that are different from everyone else. I'm really concerned about the Ravens' defense. Their offense doesn't scare me that much. You know, Mark Andrews is a really nice tight end. Marquise Brown, you know, is a speedster.
Hollywood.
He's a little bit scary, but he hasn't done a whole lot this year. Mark Ingram, nice running back, but they don't scare me that much. It's this defense right now that's giving up about 15 points per game, and it just seems like the Ravens are really trying to build up that side of the ball, and play defense the way that we remember the Ravens playing defense. Like when you think Baltimore Ravens, you think defense, and I think they're trying to build that back up again, starting with Calais Campbell and Marlon Humphrey, who might be the best cornerback in the NFL right now.
Interesting. Ah, look at that one. I mean, he's playing very well, as we know, and Peters opposite him, Marcus Peters, we know the talent that he possesses out there on the field. And Travis Fulgham, Chuck, already you know what that's all about, because they're going to try to take this young guy out and say, it's not happening this weekend. So, yeah, man, that Ravens defense is trouble. They continue to be trouble every season. They just add on to it. This Patrick Queen, for folks who have not had an opportunity to see him, and when we all talked about him during draft time, Chuck, you're going to get a lot of them this weekend.
Yep. He's having a great year so far. So, I mean, look, our offense has a chance to, you need to get Ertz and Miles Sanders going. I mean, it sounds obvious, but, I mean, come on. I mean, Ertz wants another contract. He has about no leverage right now. He looks like he's hurt or something. I need a big game out of Ertz, like Anthony's been saying. Get him involved vertically. You know, he's got a little speed. He's an athlete.
Let's get
him involved down the field. We can't get if we're not going to get other receivers.
Can he run that stuff down the field anymore? Yeah. Can he get down the field that way with the time that Carson Wentz has in the pocket? Can he now extend that route to get down there? I don't know.
I mean, if he's healthy, I think he can. You know, I do. We've seen a wide range of skills from Zach Ertz over the years. So, I mean, look, maybe he's not 100% healthy right now, but I need some more production out of him and Miles Sanders. You know, enough with the whatever that was a couple weeks ago. Oh, I don't trust him. Doug Peterson not trusting him with ball security. Whatever the heck that was. get past that and get those two guys involved, please.
Listen, man. All right, what's the score? Your final. You're the final call of the night. What is the score?
I'm going to say 23-17 Baltimore.
23-17 Baltimore. Chuck, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
All right, we'll talk to
you.
Have a good weekend.
You got it, man. Wow, 23-17. That's how we end it. Well, listen, 9 o'clock on Sunday, I started up and from Parks Casino. And for that hour, I know we'll speak to Paul Nolan at 9:30 from freewinners.net. But I definitely want to know how people feel, what they're doing to get ready for the game now that you're allowed in the building. We want to speak to the folks that are going to be down there. What time are you leaving to get there? Because there won't be as much traffic. And yeah, this is going to be an interesting one, man, because a lot of people tonight felt confident. I'm looking at 30-27 Philly. 27-24 Philly. Rod said +7. Right, we had a lot of people pick the Eagles tonight. Curious to see where they go. Tonight, Chuck ends at 23-17 Baltimore. They hang in there. They cover that number right there. All right, we did have a poll up about this game as well on 97.5 The Fanatic. And Tyler, I ask you, what do we got?
Yeah, so the question tonight was how does the Eagles-Ravens game end this weekend? Four options. Ravens win by somewhere between 1 and 10. The Eagles win somewhere between 1 and 10. Ravens win double digits, or Eagles win by double digits. 740 votes on this one. 53% of the people think, Devon, it's not going to be a close game. Ravens win by 10 plus. 53% of those votes say the Eagles, or the Ravens win by 10 plus. 20% say the Eagles win by somewhere between 1 and 10. 20% say that the Ravens win by somewhere between 1 and 10. Less than 7% say the Eagles in a blowout. Fans are not looking forward to this one.
Not confident. Oh, Tyler, we had a little comment here from Jim Appleby.
Okay.
He gave his own numbers for the spread.
Let's hear him.
Houston +3.5.
It's going against you.
Uh-huh. Atlanta +4.5.
I will never take Atlanta again.
No.
they might cover, but I'm not going down that road anymore.
And Philadelphia +9.5.
I don't think so.
All right.
But I hope he does well. I really hope he does well. And if Philadelphia +9.5 hits, that's great. I can't see it.
Ah, all right.
If Jim goes 3-0, we might have to get his picks next week.
No question.
We're just open, open challenge. If you go 3-0, you're back.
Yeah, we'll just let him know. You let him know. Let him know. All right, well, this has been fun. This has been fun as always. A great week. And we hope to do it again next week. We will be back on Sunday starting at 9 a.m. from Parks Casino. And we will talk Birds, obviously, with Brian Westbrook and Derek Gunn starting at 10 a.m. from Parks. So get ready, folks, because we're ready. We're ready to get this thing going and get things rolling on Sunday. So tune in 9 a.m. Sunday as I start things off. And then the fellows will join me at 10 o'clock as we have our pregame show. Tyler will be with us for the pregame show as we get set because this is a big game this weekend. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks to all the callers, all the tweets all week long, especially tonight as well. Be safe out there. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you on Sunday, 9 a.m. right here on The Fanatic. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.